And welcome back to another action-packed and exciting episode of the Deadly Podcast of Kung Fu, brought to you by the Villains Man, where myself, Justin Raymer, attempts to traverse the continuity of Marvel's most prolific martial artist in Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. If you want to keep up with the podcast, you can do so over on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky. Or if you want to keep up with myself, you can do so over on X and Instagram. Now, today, we're jumping back into some Iron Fist with Marvel Team Up 63. It's a continuation of the first solo series with Danny Rand that was canceled after 15 issues. Now before we go on, we have a celebration of both of our heroes here on the podcast. Because in December of 2023 was the 50th year anniversary of Shang-Chi, which completely slipped my mind because I was very aggravated and I just kind of took this to social media to kind of express some of my frustrations, as not everybody, and I'm going to say not everybody, probably majority of the comic book world didn't realize that Shang-Chi was celebrating his 50th year anniversary, because the only indication that we got of it was on the cover of Deadly Hands of Kung Fu No. 1 Gang War. We pretty much got the 50 years logo with Shang-Chi embedded into it with the 10 rings. And that kind of frustrated me because here we are in January of 2024, and it's the 50th year anniversary of Wolverine, and he gets all these variant covers through all these books that aren't his. And I get that. He's Wolverine. He's uber popular. I mean, he's got a ton of X-Men movies that he's in. He's got his own movie series. That's a trilogy. I mean, one of the X-Men cartoons was named after him, Wolverine the X-Men. He is like the most popular mutant ever. And I understand why he gets that. But we have Shang-Chi on the flip side, who is this up-and-coming character that we're pushing in the MCU. He had this really hot new movie when hardly anybody knew who he was. And I think that character at least deserves that. I mean, sure, he's not going to have a figure in every other three sets of Marvel Legends, but he deserves to have some variant covers of these classic Marvel covers throughout history mocked up in his design, and that kind of frustrates me. And then here next month we have the 50th year anniversary of Iron Fist, and we know that we're at least getting this omnibus, and according to I Am Iron Fist, shout out if you're not following him over on any of his social medias. We know that back in the end of the year, I do believe the 31st, he started down a 50 days of Iron Fist to get us to the 19th, I believe, with the anniversary of Danny Rand. And he actually got to talk to CB, who is the editor-in-chief of Marvel, and he was talking about there was something in the works for Iron Fist's 50th anniversary. So to know that there's this tease with him when he talked to him at a con, and then we get all this Wolverine, like, Shang-Chi should have got something. And that kind of irks me. Another shout-out I want to get to during this social media person, this was on X, was Dion Wonders, who is goes by I Wonder, which is his name there on X. He had brought up that, if I ever noticed, that Manai, or Midnight, who's been in some of these issues from early on in Master of Kung Fu, he has kind of a similar background to Gamora in the MCU. To quote him, silent baby in the midst of a burning village, adopted and trained by a villain. Yeah, pretty much Midnight. And to further that, those two were even pitted against each other, him and Shang-Chi, as, you know, adopted, you know, children, much like Gamora and Nebula were too in the MCU. So I thought that was a kind of a nice little thing to bring up. So shout out to him. But yeah, follow Dion Wonders at Dion underscore Wonders and I Am Iron Fist 23. That's their handles over on X. If you follow me, you can probably follow the thread with me complaining about the 50 years of Shang-Chi, and you'll run into that. But let's go ahead and get to the issue at hand, Marvel Team Up number 63. As I'd mentioned before, the series was canceled after 15 issues. But lucky for us Iron Fist fans, both Chris Claremont and John Byrne were already working on Marvel Team Up couple months before the series was canceled. Now, by what I understand that how Tom Brevoort puts it, both of them decided to bring the end of the series into Marvel Team Up because they were both working there. It's kind of what Marvel did at the time with tight continuity, and when a series would get canceled, they would find a way to bring the end of those stories into some other things. And Marvel Team-Up was just perfect. They just had to figure out how to weave Spider-Man into the story. So, lucky for us, they had both been on the title. At the time, John Byrne had already been working with Marvel Team-Up for quite a few issues, and Claremont had jumped on a couple issues before this, I think around number 57. And that issue is the second appearance of the Silver Samurai. And that kind of goes along with what I've said, how Chris Claremont has really been working on stuff before his major run on X-Men, before he started, that he brought in. Like, I brought in the stuff with the Phoenix Saga and Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, which is Iron Fist's, like, first six-part series over there. We already have Sabretooth. We have an introduction to the X-Men. A lot of his stuff from Iron Fist, and I would say now at Marvel Team-Up, is really getting worked into his X-Men stuff later on, once he and John Byrne really make the title the classic that it becomes. But back here to Marvel Team-Up number 63, it was released on August 24th, 1977, along with nine other titles with Marvel on the shelf. That'd be Captain Marvel Volume 1, number 53, Fantastic Four Volume 1, number 188, How the Duck Volume 1, number 18, Iron Man Volume 1, number 104, John Carter, Warlord of Mars, Volume 1, Number 6, Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man, Volume 1, Number 12, Sergeant Fury and the Howling Commandos, Volume 1, Number 143, Spidey Super Stories, Volume 1, 28, and Tarzan, Volume 1, Number 6. The title of this issue is called Night of the Dragon, and your team is Chris Claremont, John Byrne, with writing and pencils, as usual, for Iron Fist. Inks go to Dave Hunt, as do the colors. Letters go to John Costanza, and your editor is Archie Goodwin. The cover is done by Dave Cockrum, Frank Giacoa, and Danny Cripsey. The cover is exactly what you're getting in this book towards the end of it. We see Davos, the Steel Serpent, holding up Iron Fist with the power of the Iron Fist in his chi, as Spider-Man and Misty Knight are trying to stop him from killing our boy Danny. So yes, it's a perfect cover to explain this issue. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into the story. Iron Fist trains as he feels he has lost his edge since returning to the Earth. He's become confused about the man who's been attacking him, thinking they were friends before he left Kung Lun. The doorbell rings to break him away from his contemplations. Peter Parker arrives for a photo shoot for the Daily Bugle of the Rand Estate. He hands Danny a scroll that was tucked into the door handle. Seeing it as a formal challenge to the death from Steel Serpent, he is unsure why his friend would use a false name. He then quickly cancels the shoot and asks Peter to leave due to remembering another appointment. This triggers a spider sense, causing Parker to scramble up the roof as he leaves to fire a spider tracer on Danny's cab. Outside of New Jersey at Bushman's yacht, a party is being prepared as Moya Corday and the criminal drug lord get dressed. The phone rings and passes information to Bushman that Iron Fist will die tonight. Here's to what is said, Misty drops her undercover identity and slams Bushman against the wall. Worried about what was said, Misty drops her undercover identity and slams Bushman against the wall, demanding information on where the hit will take place. Realizing she's in love with a hero, he tells her. Misty then flees the yacht, taking out Bushman's men and stealing the speedboat. As he watches her leave, Bushman places a hit on the undercover cop. Back in New York City, Spider-Man manages to catch up with Danny's cab, only to have the driver inform him of where his fare got off. With urgency, Spider-Man heads to Inwood Park. Upon arriving at the park, Iron Fist is confronted by Steel Serpent. He is shocked to discover it is not Lee Kung, the Thunderer, his once teacher, under the mask, but his son, who was exiled long before Danny was born. Both fight honorably, fast, and deadly, and are seen as equals until Spidey is involved. His ambush is foiled by Davos, who easily tosses him into a tree. Angered that his friend has been severely injured, Iron Fist charges back into the fight. Davos sees through Danny's feint and grapples him. Before Spidey can attempt to save again, he's blinded by an intense light. As the sight returns, Peter sees the last bit of chi being siphoned from Iron Fist into Steel Serpent. Before Davos can finish Danny off, Misty Knight comes to a screeching stop in a car and rushes out with a laser pistol. Thinking it is a gun, Steel Serpent is not afraid, forcing Misty Knight to explode a nearby rock with a weapon. Now having Danny's chi, Davos leaves him alive and flees, thinking to himself that he'll finish them both off later that night. As Spidey joins Misty's side, he and her wonder if Danny will live. Now as a fan, as you read this, you cannot help but wonder why this was canceled. Surely Marvel had to see this in the following issue as a perfect way to end the series of Iron Fist before merging it with Power Man Luke Cage to become Heroes for Hire. There's been bits of history where they knew that, and I say it was canceled, but it almost seems like Claremont and them knew that it was going to merge with Luke Cage because both series were struggling at the time, and Luke Cage had already been out for about three times as long as Iron Fist solo run had at the time. Now, there are some interesting notes to just kind of throw out here. Danny mentions in the very opening page that he's been on Earth for 2 years, which is 3.5 years of publication at this time, just to kind of give you the scaling timeline that eventually we'll get with Marvel, that this just makes this in a short amount of time, usually probably within the first year of the character, if you're wanting to add that right. Now, the big thing to point out here is we've seen Davos get teased in issues 14 and 15 with the suit, and we've seen him all the way from issue 1 spotted throughout those 15 issues of the solo series. But it is important at this time, now that he is calling himself Steel Serpent, that he's not the original Steel Serpent. The name was taken from a villain from Deadly Hands of Kung Fu issue 10, which was also written by Chris Claremont to turn it and run it back around to where Chris Claremont is taking stuff from his past works and adding it to future works to basically make him the great wire rider that he becomes. So there is that. You can check out that issue over on episode 14 for a review of some other Deadly Hands of Kung Fu issues. So what he reveals to Danny Rand is he is the son of Lee Kung the Thunderer, the man who trained Danny, and that would explain to Danny why he is so confused on why his former master, I shouldn't say his former master, still his master, it's the guy that trained him. When you get trained in martial arts, your master is always your master, unless you're going to fight them and defeat them. This would explain why he's so confused, and we do learn that he is exiled from the mystical city. We just don't know why. Now, the one thing I want to point out about Davos at this time, and he showed up in issue 1 of Iron Fist, and his dialogue has come a long way since then. So, the first time we meet him is at the airport when Misty Knight is being kidnapped, and some of his dialogue does not match the character to this point in the series. When he bumps into her, he says, "Hey, take it easy, honey. What's the hurry? Too bad, lady. There are some things a body just shouldn't see. Not if it's a body that wants to stay alive." His dialogue of calling her honey and lady does not fit the dialogue that we're seeing here in this issue, or even later on in the regular Iron Fist issue. And that could just be him disguising himself, maybe not wanting to throw off who he is. But it is kind of strange that he would do it just here, and it's just in issue 1, and he never sounds like that again. So maybe that's Claremont thinking, hey, I want to kind of take this character into a more serious side once we see that he's with Joy and Ward Meacham later on in the series. Now, his fight with Iron Fist is pretty awesome. Just right out of the gate, I do want to mention that, to kind of blend it in with this podcast, during their fight, Iron Fist does kick Davos in the face, and he does say, "The man is good, better than any martial artist I've ever faced, save Shang-Chi." So, that just goes to show you, you know, we've seen that Iron Fist and Shang-Chi at this point have been treated as equals in both of their crossovers, which you can check out in episode 33, which covers A Master of Kung Fu Annual number 1, and the next episode, number 34, which covers Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, number 29. So it shows that he is equal or on par with these guys. And as we see with this fight, it does seem that Davos is the stronger fighter of the two. So as for the fight, as I mentioned in the synopsis that I gave, they fight very honorably. I mean, they both open up with a bow before taking on the offensive defensive positions at the fight, and you know, you usually see in a martial arts fight. And Davos strikes first. I mean, it's a kick to the face, and then it's a block by Iron Fist who punches him, and then it's literally back and forth. Hand strike to the face, the kick to the face that I mentioned when Iron Fist mentioned Shang-Chi, then it's another kick by Davos, and then another kick by Iron Fist. Like, literally, panel to panel, it is a back-and-forth fight. And then Spider-Man gets involved, and this is where the whole fight gets screwed up. In typical Spider-Man fashion, because he's Peter Parker, and he's broke, and he's a bum, and he needs money, while this fight's going on, and he is worried about Iron Fist, because they do have a team-up, which is mentioned here. You can check my review on Marvel Team-Up number 31, which is in this series, which is on episode 11. And then there's a mystery solved episode I kind of did with the Backwards Man, if you want to check that over on episode 27. Now back to the fight, as Spider-Man just takes the time out to set up his camera. That lets Davos get one more shot in on Iron Fist for, shall we know, could have killed him. Then Spider-Man swings in, announces himself, which is the worst mistake you could do to this deadly martial arts master, Steel Serpent, who catches his kick, spins Spider-Man to a circle, using him as a club to hit Iron Fist as he's getting up, before throwing him into a tree, ribs first, which just angers Iron Fist, who kind of gets this plan, like, okay, I know how I'm going to beat him, I'm going to set up with a feint so I can hit this really strong strike. Davos sees right through it, kind of gets him in a reverse full Nelson so he can pull them chest to chest, much like we've seen in issue 14 and 15, where he siphons off what energy he can of the Iron Fist and then literally takes it all, and that's what blinds him. Now this leads to the one thing that I really do not like about this issue, is when the chi is transferred, it literally looks like a stitched-on pattern on the chest of both Iron Fist and Steel Serpent. The chi is colored. It's white and pink, which I would assume would be yellow, because a lot of times it's kind of what we see. But the branding on their chest looks awful. I mean, it literally looks like it's white, and then it's dotted stitch lines around it. Looks freaking terrible. The other thing I do not like is during the fight, the moves are said and then they're translated into English during the inner thoughts of Iron Fist before we get the Mawashizuki roundhouse strike. Like, we do not need that it's called that. Let our imaginations put two and two together when we read the name and we see the move. Let your imagination take over. That's kind of the whole point of comic books. We're supposed to read in between panels, in the gutters. You're supposed to use your imagination to fill in these blanks during fight choreography in a comic book. And I really don't like that. I think that kind of, it didn't really take away from the fight, but it kind of just irks me. I did not like that. Now moving on to some stuff that I do enjoy. Misty Knight is looking like the gorgeous Bronze Age beauty that she is. Her dress is very similar to the one Storm wears in issue 15 of Iron Fist while attending Jean Grey's party. Now considering Jean is Misty's roommate, maybe one of them stole the style from the other, or maybe both girls went shopping together and bought the dresses at the same time. Considering Storm is one of my favorite X-Men alongside Magic, I like to think that that's what they did. They were like, hey girl, let's go shopping, and then they went shopping for this party. Misty doesn't get to attend the party because she takes this undercover mission, so they don't get to wear the dresses together. That's my headcanon. Now, we really get to see her love for Danny in this, as she completely blows her cover, which is kind of shocking because she was very serious when she took on this undercover mission, because we've understood how Bushman is really deadly and how he's portrayed as this really badass, like, crime lord, drug lord that has killed almost every undercover cop that's been on to him. And she really shows her love. Like, she takes that mechanical arm, which he has no clue. She's got the cybernetic arm. And, like, she lifts him, scares the shit out of him, and takes out her men and leaves on a speedboat in very Captain America Winter Soldier fashion. She just kind of cleans house on this ship. And then I love that she is so concerned about Danny. And she, at this point, she doesn't really have any clue about who Davos is, Steel Serpent, what's going on with Danny, because she's been gone. She comes packing this laser pistol, and I love that Steel Serpent calls her bluff. He's like, oh, I can dodge bullets, I can catch bullets. She's like, bam, sugar, blows this rock up. She's like, I ain't screwing around. I love that. Love Misty Knight. Now, one of the problems with her scene with Bushman, those pages, I can't help but think this, is how does Shreve know about Davos In Iron Fist 13, we know that Steel Serpent is done with Joy Meacham after attacking her Uncle Ward. Now, Davos doesn't strike me as a type to let his business be known to any type of criminal underworld. We obviously know that he thinks they are scum based on his dealings with Ward and Joy. So, Shreve maybe worked at the manor, maybe had connections, or I'm not really sure who Shreve is. Maybe there was someone he had connections with that worked for Ward, or maybe Shreve knows one of the gunmen in the beginning of issue 15 trying to hijack the Rand Meacham shipment. I mean, Danny did mention that he was tipped off, so maybe Shreve is kind of like Weasel in Luke Cage Power Man, you know, gets all the information for the hero, tips them off when they need to. So one other thing that I do love about this book in regards to Spider-Man, despite his thing with the camera, is Claremont does a really genius thing for giving Spider-Man a reason not to interfere in the fight in its beginning. So we know Spider-Man relies on all the skyscrapers in New York to get around. He mentions, you know, that his web swinging is the fastest way to get around New York City. And if you've ever been in New York City, the traffic is miserable there. It's completely congested all the time. So Spider-Man loses them due to not having anywhere to web swing. And it's a perfect way for the cab to get ahead of him. And I love that. I thought that was really, really great. So as for this story continues on into Marvel Team Up number 64, which I will be covering next week for you guys. And I really hope that you're enjoying this Iron Fist run. I do plan on covering the first three issues of Power Man that Iron Fist shows into before the title takes over at Heroes for Hire. So I've been Justin Raymond for the Deadly Podcast, Gung Fu. If you like the podcast, you can follow us over on X, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads. If you like my music, check out Rushing Tiger by Kuro over on SoundCloud. But remember, guys, support your old comic book shops, support your favorite podcast, and keep reading comics, guys.